filmmakers and vatos, welcome. Welcome to Film Hustlers.
Is that really our intro?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Fans and friends.
Boys and girls.
Boys and girls.
Kids of all ages.
Ladies, I don't like ladies and gentlemen because it feels generic.
Like you're on the tram?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to MCA and Universal Studios. Yeah. It's the biggest back rock in the world. It really is.
Start with Film Hustlers.
Talking about film, talking about scripts, talking about movies, talking about everything that has to do with indie film. And also, I mean, you know, it's not just indie film. We seem to be involved at the bigger levels these days, right?
Kind of. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay.
I mean, hey, you know,
yes, we are.
Netflix
we are.
Is happening.
Netflix, Lifetime.
Lifetime. You know, there's some other networks out there interested in what we're doing. How are you feeling about where you're at as a writer, as a filmmaker? I mean, lots of stuff are popping for you, but I feel like you feel behind. Or you feel marginalized.
Damn, Robert just hit me with a 1-2 punch. I feel good. I don't feel marginalized at all. I just feel like I got a couple things rolling. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about our little short here.
Well, this is going to be epic.
Epic.
Let's celebrate some of the stuff that you're doing. You have a script named Santana, called Santana.
That you actually told me to go write.
I told you to go write it.
10 years ago, Davey.
No, it wasn't that long ago.
Well, no, it's been a while, though.
Yeah, it's been a while, but you wrote it, and now you've got Maurice Compte helping out with it, yeah, wanting to make
Roger,
it.
Roger Collins.
Producing. Right? And then you've got Lucky Paul Smith, which you also wrote.
Lucky
and
Paul
by the way,
Smith.
was a short,
yes.
So if you want to go back a few shows and hear how he complained about, I mean, I don't want to do a short, you want to do a feature. Now you did a short, and now it's turning into a feature.
It's turning into a feature. Yeah, we got a guy who's, he's actually making a movie right now for $50 million. And he's working with these investors. And they're looking for projects to make between $5 and $7 million. So Jamie Peralta, who's my manager, my buddy, he's a producer, he said, hey, I got a script. And he sent him the short, and he loved it. He goes, we're looking for like 1 to 2. And the guy was like, what? 1 to 2? Yeah, I got that easily.
Let's celebrate.
Yes, okay. But as we know, in this business,
Windy the Pooh.
I could, something could happen, you know, like 1 to 2, no problem. Let's pocket change again. The phone. Oh, man, is there any way?
Yeah,
I don't know if I could do it. Let's wait. You know how this shit happens?
Yeah. All right. Well,
all levels.
I want to cheers to your success.
And cheers, but where's the Casa Mexico?
Let's look at it. Look at it on a positive. And then you got Davey Dave over here working at InFuego.com. Mm-hmm. No.
InFuegoNow.com.
InFuegoNow.com.
We're lucky to even have him right now because he's so busy.
I know. He's got to run around and come do our stuff.
Traveling the world, hosting and shit.
I do run around all week, though.
But yeah. How's that going, though? How are you feeling about all that? You're like you're on-camera talent now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
SAG? AFTRA? No, not yet. You going to sue them? You going to turn them in?
Eventually, Sam. I'm saving up all that ammo. Don't trip. Yeah, no, but it's going well, man. It's going well. I like the latest stuff.
It seems like you guys are ramping up some of the comedy, too. I laughed at some stuff, and I looked, and it was like, oh, it's in Fuego. That's cool.
Okay, good, good.
Some good memes and stuff, good videos and stuff.
That's Davey Dave.
We put it all in there.
I know. It's good stuff.
And how about you, Roberts? Let's not forget about you, the host with the most.
Well, I'm always hustling.
Well, you're a fucking film hustler.
Yeah,
that's
so that's right. I'm a film hustler, and all you out there are as well. You know, I'm always looking for cheese. I get disappointed. You know, I get disappointed because I make mistakes when I produce. I get disappointed because I can't sell stuff. Then I forget of all the things that I got going for myself. And there's a lot of good stuff out there. But you got to – I think if you get the idea that show business is easy, then you got the wrong idea. It's not easy. It's hard, and you are satisfied so much by the creative work that you do in this biz that you tend to forget how hard it is, and then you want to do it again. But I would say, yeah, I feel really great about my project at Netflix right now. I feel great about our movie coming out, stepping into the holidays on November 25th, day after Thanksgiving. You should check it out on Lifetime. You know, we all worked on it. And I got, you know, we're working on the script for a new movie for Lifetime next summer, around next summer, probably more like the spring, but all good, dude. Thank you for asking. And I'm really excited about our short that we're doing here on the show, which we haven't raised the money. That's the next step.
Yeah.
But the script is done.
Yeah.
The script is pretty much done. Mm-hmm. We saved you guys all the time and energy of listening to us develop it further. We went ahead and Tootie wrote the rest of it, and we liked it. We made notes on it, and we have a read for you guys to listen to, and we're going to play that for you right now. But first, I want to thank Russ Emanuel and ExtremeMusic.com for being our sponsors, for supporting our show, because without them, we might not do it, or we probably would anyway.
We would, because we're film. Anyway. This is a creative outlet.
We hustle.
We're motherfucking film hustlers.
but yeah, I just want to shout out to ExtremeMusic.com, because we will be using them on our short, and you guys will actually get to hear what we're talking about instead of us talking about it all the time. So in the meantime, I want you to listen to a recording of a version of Beautiful Darkness. This is an audio version of the script that Tootie wrote that we're going to be producing the short on. So enjoy it, and then we're going to talk about it right after it's done. Interior Hospice Day. Close up on Mendoza, 50s, his eyes focused as he looks down on a bed. The sound of a heart monitor fills the room. Mendoza's stare is blank. We pull back to reveal an old man in his last moments of life. His closed eyes flutter open as he looks up at Mendoza. There's zero connection between the two. The old man's eyes widen as he takes his last breath. He's gone. The heart monitor flatlines. Mendoza takes a deep breath, looks around the room. He spots medicine bottles on the bedside table. He picks one up and studies it. Memantine. He puts it back down. He studies the room one last time, taking a mental picture. He gently closes the old man's eyes, followed by a soft kiss on the forehead. Mendoza then kneels down next to the bed and begins praying the Serenity Prayer, a rosary clutched tightly in his hands. Mendoza, God, grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Exterior Mark's house, front porch. Upper middle class neighborhood. Mendoza stands waiting at the door. Mark, 60s, opens the door. An instant oh shit look comes over his face. The two lock eyes for a moment. Mark steps aside. Mark, come in. Mendoza walks in as Mark closes the door behind him. Mendoza spots a family photo hanging on the wall. Mark catches on as his nerves begin to get the best of him. Mark, look, mister, I don't know. Mark looks down to see a chrome 38 in Mendoza's hand, hanging at his side. Mendoza looks around the house, making sure they're alone, keeping the gun pointed in Mark's direction. Mendoza returns to Mark and pulls out a zip tie from his coat pocket. Mendoza, give me your hands. Mark puts his hands out. Sweat starts beating from his face. Mendoza catches on as he zip ties Mark's hands together in front of him. Mark, it ends with me, right? My family. My family will be left alone, right? The two lock eyes. Mendoza calmly continues. He's got a job to do. Mendoza, not my call. Mendoza leads Mark down the hall and into the house. Mark stops. Wait, please, wait. Mark turns and faces Mendoza. We cut to interior dining room moments later. Close up on Mark as he writes a note on the back of a piece of mail while his hands are zip tied in front of him. His emotions are getting the best of him. Mendoza watches closely. Mark finishes his note and looks at Mendoza. Mendoza nods. Cut to interior living room moments later. Mendoza and Mark are both on their knees facing each other. Mendoza's head is bowed while he holds his hands tightly together, clutched by a rosary, while Mark looks on in fear. Mendoza, my Lord, you made me and you love me. My circumstances do not define me. My identity is as your child. Your word says that. Although people plan their course in their hearts, it is you who establishes our steps. Whatever I do today, your loving eye is on me, and you have promised to guide me. I can do nothing without you giving me the strength to do it. The desires of my heart can only be satisfied in you, O Lord. Guide my steps, Lord, to follow you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Mendoza crosses himself, then looks up at Mark. Cut to interior living room moments later. Mark's lifeless legs dangle as he hangs by his neck from a second-story banister. We only see his legs. Mendoza sits in a chair in the distance watching the last moments of Mark's life. Mendoza then rises and heads over to Mark and studies him. Mark sweats his pants, urine drips from the pant leg, forming a puddle beneath him on the hardwood floor.
Mendoza pushes his leg accidentally, touches the pee. Mendoza quickly pulls his hand away. Cut to interior kitchen. Moments later, Mendoza aggressively scrubs his hands with soap and water. Interior living room. Moments later, Mendoza studies Mark from a distance. Fade out. Exterior park, Big Bear Day. Santoro El Toro Obregón, 80s, sits on a bench feeding birds with 11-year-old Ethan. The two find humor in watching the birds fight for crumbs. Ethan, if I had to pick, I'd say my favorite bird is a bald eagle. Santoro, oh yeah, why's that? Ethan, I once saw one in Alaska when we were on vacation. It looked strong. Have you ever seen a bald eagle? Santoro, I have. And you're right, they're magnificent. But my favorite bird, without a doubt, is a kite bird. Ethan chuckles, a kite bird. Santoro, yeah, kite birds are from Australia. When there's a fire, guess what they do? Ethan, what? Santoro, they take a burning branch with their beaks, find their prey hiding from the fire, drop that burning branch in their hiding spot, and guess what? Ethan, they catch their meal. Ethan tosses what's left of his breadcrumbs and gathers his things. Santoro, that's right. Yeah, survival of the fittest. Ethan, see you tomorrow, Mr. O. Santoro, you certainly will. Ethan heads for his bike and rides off. Santoro tosses the rest of his breadcrumbs to the hungry birds. Interior apartment afternoon. Mendoza makes his way around a quiet and very minimalist apartment. He hears someone out front and quickly ducks behind a wall, pulling his .38 from his waist and pointing it at the front door. A moment passes and the person leaves. Mendoza returns to looking around. He spots a table filled with prescription medicine. He heads over. He picks one up. Memantine. Same bottle from the hospital scene. It was his father's. Interior bus afternoon. Santoro rides the bus all alone. Interior apartment night. Through the darkness, the front door opens and light from outside pours in and onto Mendoza sitting in a chair on the other side of the living room in the corner. The silhouette of a man stands in the doorway as he fusses with his keys, then enters, closing the door behind him. The two men stay motionless in the dark. Did they spot each other? Santoro heads over to the kitchen and starts to pour a glass of water from the tap. After a moment, we hear a sound of a gun being cocked. Mendoza, it's been a long time, El Toro. A moment passes. Santoro, man, that's a name I haven't heard in a while. Water? Mendoza, no. Santoro, I have bottles of water too. Points to the bottles. Tap has more flavor, if you ask me. Mendoza turns on a reading lamp next to him. We see his .38 resting on his leg, pointed at Santoro. The two men catch eyes. It's been a long time. They can't help but share a smile. But then, right back to reality. Santoro, you've grown up, Michael. Mendoza shoots him a look. Santoro, where's Mama? Mendoza is caught off guard. Mendoza quickly realizes Santoro doesn't recognize him at all. He glances down at the prescription bottle clutched in his hand and decides to play along. Mendoza, oh, she's shopping. Santoro eases up. He points to the gun in Mendoza's hand. Santoro, mijo, you know we don't allow guns in the house. Your mom would be very angry. Mendoza can see Santoro is now an old man, a shell of his former badass self. There's no threat. He uncocks the .38 and slides it back into his waist. Santoro makes his way over and sits down on the sofa next to him. Santoro, I've missed you, mijo. Santoro slowly rises and hugs Mendoza, who's unsure what to do, so he hugs him back. The respect is high. El Toro, although a rat, is a legend. Santoro sits back down, beaming with pride and happiness as he looks at Mendoza. Mendoza, why did you do it? Santoro, do what? Mendoza, flip. Santoro, I don't understand. Mendoza leans in towards Santoro and takes his hands. Mendoza, you made a big mistake, old man. Santoro is now confused. Santoro, what mistake did I make, mijo? Mendoza stands up. I'm not your son, El Toro. What do you mean? Santoro says. Yes, you are, Mendoza. You don't have a son. Santoro's lost. Mendoza, you don't have a wife. You don't have a daughter. You're a killer who's been hiding out. until now. Your name is Santoro Obregón, otherwise known as El Toro. You were head of the federation that controlled all of Baja and the northern part of Mexico. You cut a deal with the United States federal government and put away a lot of your own men. You know what's coming. Mendoza pulls the pistol from his waist and places it in front of Santoro. Mendoza, Psalms 32. David lays it all out, keeping silent. And as a result, his bones wasted away. But it's a trip. Because then he says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. And guess what? Because of this, he walked in forgiveness. And it is implied that this heaviness was removed from his spirit. Removed from his spirit, Santoro. Santoro's emotions get the best of him. He weeps. This makes Mendoza uncomfortable. Mendoza tucks the pistol back in his waist and walks to the kitchen. He grabs that bottle of water, but doesn't drink it. He takes out his rosary and walks over to Santoro, who's speechless. Mendoza sits and puts his unopened bottle right next to him. Santoro, you know, Mendoza, I do have regret. Mendoza smirks for a moment. Santoro continues. Yeah, I know who you are. Dementia's interesting that way. It comes in waves, much like the ocean tide. One minute you can be as sharp as a knife, and the next, nada. Can't remember shit. But this life, this world we live in, yeah, it's an ugly place. You and I have seen the worst of it. Mendoza's mouth is dry now. He reaches for the bottle of water, examines it, then opens it and takes a swig. Santoro. Yeah, I knew someone would be coming. Cut to exterior park day. Santoro sits on the park bench. A man 30s is on his phone, earbuds. While his small dog sniffs the grass close by, Santoro pulls a small syringe from his coat pocket and slyly pops off the top, all while watching the man on the phone, laughing and talking to someone on the other line. Santoro, I lived the last 20 years waiting, never knowing who or when. Cut to interior apartment kitchen night. Santoro sits alone in the dark. He weeps while holding the syringe in his hand. The top's off. The needle beads clear liquid out of the top. Santoro stares at it, his eyes swollen and red. Santoro, the truth is, I knew you would come, but I had 20 years to think about it. Cut to interior living room. That moment, we're back. Mendoza is now having a hard time breathing as Santoro is empowered. He watches him. Santoro, Mendoza, do you know what a kite bird is? I feel sorry for the kite bird. The Japanese say a kite breeds a hawk, meaning an exceptional child is born from common parents. Even a kite looks like a hawk when seated. The biggest reason the kite is spoken ill of in this way is that it's a scavenger that feeds on not only living, but also dead animals in order to keep our environment clean. We need the services of the kite. It's unfortunate for the bird to be ranked so low because of its cleaning behavior. You and I are cleaners, Mendoza. Santoro leans in as Mendoza gasps for air. Mendoza's gun falls to the ground. Santoro, I know who I am. This disease may take my mind, but it will not take my soul. My black soul. And if you were wondering, you're a kite, and I am the hawk. Mendoza falls onto the floor, gasping for air, as Santoro stands over him. Fade out.
Hell of a job reading that.
Yes, thank sir.
You, yeah.
Thank you.
That I was... mean, no, really good. Good job.
Thank everybody. You. Well, good job writing it, because I think you can't do that. You know, you can't read something.
Collaborative effort,
you can't read something well without it being well written.
True,
I think
true.
It's dark, it's beautiful, it's poignant. I think there's a couple of things that we should address just as from a development standpoint. Mm-hmm. Like it's difficult to understand how the syringe works.
Yeah, right.
Right. And I
yeah,
think it's
a
in
little
the,
confusing.
It's in the shooting of it, I think.
Well,
because all you want to achieve is that he spiked that thing, right?
Well, yeah, because one of the draft before, we show him You know what I mean? We show him actually pushing the top of the, in the top of the bottle, not taking off the cap. Because right. that's when he takes the top and he pushes it in. I mean, we could do that. Or I mean, you kind of get it as an audience because he's carrying the syringe and you know something in it. Something's in it that's basically like his protection or yeah. his demise. But I don't know. Do you guys think we should put that back in when he does a VO? When like he starts choking or something, do we cut away to him in the kitchen?
I think you should shoot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
we had that before. We just pulled it out, but we could add it in. It's,
I think you can. I think you can condense it to one flashback.
Yep.
And because he can say that other shit directly to Emilio, you know, to Mendoza, instead of being in a VO. But yeah, I think you should
Hold on a sec. Don't you think though we should show? Okay, so there's three things in a flashback. This is what I was aiming for. There's the predator, where he sees the guy, the 30-year-old guy with the dog. So he's like, here it is, you know, and he takes it out, and he's, you know, he's wet, ready for action because he's going to jab that into the guy's leg.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, because it's filled with like a toxin that's going right. to give you a heart attack. That's right, what right. it is. Or when he's sitting in the kitchen, my idea was him at like this vulnerable, desperate moment where he's contemplating killing himself, using that again, you know, like
I didn't get that either.
Yeah. And then the third was when Mendoza's there and when he offers him a glass of water and he says no, sells him the water. He knows he's gonna go with that because it's just, you know, it's safer. He plugs the thing without him seeing, pushes the poison in the water, and leaves the water bottle on the counter. For it, because he knows eventually, well, he's hoping he's going to come and pick it up and drink it, and he does.
Okay, three things. I think that number one, that if you really think about the editing portion of this, yes. I think going back to that bottle that much is going to get complicated in the last few minutes of the movie, right? Because I think it's too much to be on that when you're going to get it.
Yeah.
Two, I didn't know at all that he was going to stick the guy, that he was ready to stick the guy in the park. I did not know that. Had no idea that that was going to happen. So if that's what the scene is about, I didn't read that. And then third thing, he's been waiting 20 years for someone to come. Those bottles are ready.
Oh.
Those bottles are ready. I mean, if you want to show him setting up the bottles, that's fine. But I think yeah. that literally, I would think, and this is totally open for interpretation, I would think that the most important flashback is the one of him setting up the bottles yeah. and putting them there, and that's it. But I didn't realize the other ones were that way. And I think if you can, if as a director, you can yeah. establish those things,
it's then gonna could be,
you know, or the first scene you open up and it's him doctoring the bottles.
Well, I don't know if we should give it away, but it's gonna be in the look. It's gonna be in him sitting there at the bench, and a guy with his dog comes close by, and you're gonna see.
He can clutch it differently too. Like.
Well, he's gonna take it out. It's in the eyes. It's okay. in his demeanor. It's like if this guy gets any closer.
Oh, okay. So that's when he says, "I've been waiting 20 years. Right. I knew someone was coming. I've been waiting 20 years.
Right.
And then okay, yeah.
And
okay.
then when and we talked about this the other day, you and I. I don't know if it's necessary, because you brought up a good point. So this guy is a boss. He's a killer. He's all these things. He's been waiting 20 years. You know, I thought we were going to show like a vulnerable side to this bad guy. And that's why I said his eyes are swollen and red, and he's holding the syringe, and he's almost like contemplating like using it on himself. And you brought up a good point saying a guy like that would never do something like that. But it shows a different side of him.
Yeah,
you
know I don't. What I mean? But I don't like El Toro being anything but the powerful hawk that he ends up being. I don't think there's a moment of contemplation
weakness.
About killing himself. Yeah,
no
I think he's been waiting 20 years to kill somebody.
Well, so what we'll do is that scene we could scratch, or that's the scene when he has a case of water in front of him, and he's plugging away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Instead of watery eyes and all that, he's filling the bottles, and it's dark, and we got a light on him, mm-hmm. and you show him like getting prepared. Right?
I like that. And then the other thing that we talked about, David, I don't know, you weren't privy to this, but because he doesn't, I was just suggesting that El Toro doesn't have dementia.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
He doesn't.
Okay.
So the bottles on the nightstand, they're filled with
sweet tarts.
You know, the like white sweet tarts, right?
Yeah, yeah,
so they're filled with sweet tarts, but unless you open them and put them in your mouth, you're not going to know. So in the end, as he says that last heinous shit to Mendoza, he actually pops one of the bottles.
Well, yeah, he pulls it out of his clutched hand. Yeah. You know, Mendoza's dying. Yeah. You know, and he pries it
and
out.
And he eats it.
And then he pops it open. He's standing above him, and he pours
it's like
in
three
his
or
mouth.
Four of them. You know?
Yeah, just looking at him like
yeah. Yeah. But the setup would be that Tootie mentioned that in the park with the kid, he offers him a tube of sweet tarts.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Because
yeah,
he has
okay.
them in his pocket.
Hey, sweet tart.
Got it.
Sweet tart. Well, I'm not. Don't worry about it. Just take him with you.
Got it.
Yeah.
So that would That's be the good. Setup for that. That's yeah, I good. Like that. I like the idea that he's pretending. You know that's his defense as a smart guy. He's like, oh, mijo, I don't know who you are, like, you know, you're my son, you know, that's all a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Even the crying, because you said, does he need to be crying when he does the prayer? I think it's more of his
I think calm. Mark should cry when
well yeah
Emilio's
yeah yeah
when, but I when think, Mendoza's praying with him.
Yeah, but I also think because when Mendoza is praying with El Toro, you said, why is he crying? I think it's a part of his. He doesn't have to be bawling, but maybe he lets out, like, you know, like something to show.
Like a suspiro kind of thing?
Yeah. 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 Or something. I mean, he doesn't have to. We'll leave it up. We'll leave it to the actor. But yeah. It's such a play, and I do like the sweet tart thing. I think we should incorporate
Let's
that.
Buy some and see what they look like. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure, like, there's some really white ones. Or no, there's another candy that's,
yes,
like, you know,
it's
the wrapped
Halloween
ones.
Candy.
Yeah, yeah. There's a Halloween candy. Yeah, Smarties. Yeah. They look
perfect.
Like pills.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so many.
But I think it's like, unless we decide, first of all, it's all lighting. Galvan's going to have to light the shit out of this, right? It's going to have to be moody.
You can see it.
You can see it, right? It's going to have to be dark and moody and almost like a Blade Runner kind of thing, you know?
Exactly.
Yes.
But I think it's perfect. And if you can see the type of moments that they're living, you know, and the audience could feel like they've been in that kind of light, or they've been in, you know, whatever, in conversations or whatever. Like, I think it's gonna be pretty cool. So I'm really happy with it. I don't have really, except for the things we sort of talked about right now, I don't think there's much else to do unless we get two actors that have distinct ideas about what they should be doing or saying or whatever. And then, you know, it'll be interesting to see if some of that stuff works. And in editing, we can give Rich extra. So I would shoot as a director, as your producer suggesting this, Dave, you'll have to concur. Mm-hmm. But I think the plan would be that you shoot your movie. And if they want other takes, that you do other takes.
Right, of course. Yeah.
But shoot the movie as is, right? Yeah. So if they go like, hey, what if we do this? Let's shoot it as is and then give them the opportunity to
improvise.
To improvise. Unless the idea is so good that you want to make the change.
No, it's always better to overshoot than undershoot.
Makes sense, David?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a good job, dude. I think I really like it. I really like it. I was pleasantly surprised because when I read it, I liked it. And when I heard it, I liked it. As much. But anyway, if you're listening, what we're doing is we're developing this script to the project that we're going to raise money for, that we're going to produce. It is a short, and this is the conversations that happened, and, you know, pretty much how in real time, you know, we hadn't talked about it that much before. We're kind of deciding what we're going to do now, and you heard it. You heard it here.
And I'm going to call it right now. People are going to want to know El Toro's backstory. People are going to want to know Mendoza's backstory.
Mendoza tells them.
Not in this short.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? They're going to want to see more. I mean, Mendoza's gone. Obviously, he's dead. But what happens to El Toro? How does he get rid of the body? Right. Or does he get rid of the body? Does somebody else come? They know where
he is. He knows how to get rid
of
a body.
Guess what?
I wonder if he walks outside and there's like a basement or like somewhere where he's been burying people. Like, he's not the only guy to come get him.
But here's the thing. Well, yeah, that's true. But they know.
But if they
know
where he's at, if he knows where he's at, then there's no way he could stay
there.
That's it. Right?
No. So he's got to go on the run. So.
So yeah. maybe the next, like, the credits are him walking out with like a bag of clothes or whatever.
No, I think we leave it as is, but I think if there's interest in the feature, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking bigger picture. Not bigger picture, but I'm thinking of the short, but we could, there's so much room to go back and forth.
Well, one thing I'll tell you is it's a great piece of work to show
your
writing and to show what it looks like on screen. So that's, I think, I mean, I know you've done other shorts, but...
Yeah, because we're covering a lot of stuff in that short amount of time.
Yeah.
And it moves so good.
Yeah, it moves smooth, and it feels like a. It feels like, you know, if you were sitting at Sundance in a, a snowstorm and you're in a theater and you're watching this, you're gonna clap. Yeah. You know, you're gonna be happy that you will just watch this. It's kind of exactly.
Those are the kind of films you want to see at those festivals.
Yeah, you want to sit there like all cold, like with your jacket on, and like watch something like deep. But yeah, I think you killed it. I think we're ready to go. Should we use the audio for investors? I think so.
Well, should we? Because I'm going to do those two changes tonight. I'm going to add.
I'll re-record it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll add in that. I'll add in the filling of the bottles with the needle.
Yeah.
And I'll add in. What was the second thing we were going to add in?
Sweet tarts, which are now
sweet tarts,
and then Smarties. Mark crying.
Yeah,
I think he was weeping, wasn't he?
Mm-mm.
No. Santoro was weeping.
Santoro's weeping.
Do we need him weeping?
Yeah, Mark's got cried when that prayer is happening. He's got to be like,
he's got to be.
This is it.
Yeah, or like one tear. Like he could be like, he could play it as Brave. Just like a tearful, you know, that
just
kind of shit.
However you feel it.
But anyway, thank you guys for listening. I hope this was helpful. I think what I want to say about this is when you're developing a script with others, you know, look for the best idea.
Yeah, be open.
Don't look for what you think it should be. Look for the best idea. Be open to other ideas. Think about those other ideas and add to them. There's nothing threatening about the best idea at the table winning, as long as it's mine. But anyway.
Damn.
All right, guys. Thanks again. We'll see you next time on
Film Hustlers, fool.
Film Hustlers.